Train people well enough so they can leave. Treat them well enough so they don't want to. Richard Branson. You're listening to Podnuts Pro, your podcast for business IT support. And now, your host, Marvin B. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., coming at you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It is another fantastic day. I hope that you all made some good money today. I had some interesting situations, and tonight's topic, I think, is very timely for me. As many of you have probably noticed in my Facebook post, we expanded our office, and pretty soon we'll be looking to bring back staff. Most of you don't know that in the beginning, I actually had technicians and office people working for me. I downsized. It's just me and the wife right now, but now we are looking to expand once again. So I brought two gentlemen on to help me talk about how to grow and manage your business, employees, office systems, whatever. So we are going to be hearing from Jason Miller with Unbound Digital and Tom Bill from Two River Computing. It is going to be a fantastic show. Might even be a little bit of a preview for those of you that will be attending TechCon Unplugged. And that is a conference we'll all be at later this year. And I'll go ahead and just do that announcement now. So TechCon Unplugged, a show hosted by our good friends over at MSP Unplugged, Jeff Hallisch and Paco LeBron, along with John Dubinsky, September 17th through the 19th in Chicago, a conference that brings the IT community together. And usually it's just a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday affair, but this year they have added a Microsoft 365 boot camp that will start at 12 noon on Friday. So if you get in early, you can attend that, but you got to register. There's only 50 seats for that. It's included in the price of the ticket, which for the entire weekend is only $199. Head over to TechCon Unplugged, grab your seat, get your hotel, get your plane ticket. As I said, I will be there, and we will be doing some sessions on Sunday. And the site actually looks pretty good. They have added more vendors that will be there to provide us with tools to help us run our business and take care of our clients better. So TechConUnplugged.com. I do want to say thank you. In the last week, I received a couple of donations. Marius, I think that's how you pronounce it, gave a donation on PayPal, and Ramey became a Patreon. So I appreciate both of those. Folks, if you would like to help this show in any way, you can do what these gentlemen did. You can go over to podnutspro.com and click on the support link, and you can either do a PayPal donation, a buy me a coffee donation, sign up for Patreon, or you can click the store and go to Amazon and just shop and pay for things as you normally would. Everything stays the same, but a little bit of commission comes back to the show, helps me pay for the streaming, and helps me compensate for bringing these guests on and doing this great show. So head over to podnutspro.com. You can also listen to the back catalog of episodes, find your favorite guest, and you can either watch or listen. You can subscribe to your favorite podcatcher and, of course, get the audio, and then the YouTube video will be there. And as you can see, if you are watching us live, we stream just about every Wednesday, both to YouTube and the Facebook. Sometimes we have a post show, so if you're watching, you get to see that. If you're listening to the audio, you won't get that. I'm sorry. We cut that out because that's when things might get crazy. And the FCC, well, I don't know if they watch us or not, but we try to take care of those things. All right. So I think that is it for announcements. I did. Oh, I have a very special announcement, but let me go ahead and bring our gentleman into the screen here. As I mentioned, Jason Miller and Tom Bull. Guys, how are you?
Doing great.
Marvin.
All right. And Tom is the only one I see that has did the branding thing with the two well, rubber.
The picture that you picked of me, I was looking for another picture, you know, and had my logo and had my face mask with the logo on. I figured you could probably take one more logo.
Well, I thought about that because I have one as well that has my logo on it.
There you go.
So, although we've kind of stopped wearing it down here in the wild, wild state of Florida.
Totally. We had a lot of local people making masks back early on when you couldn't get them.
Right.
So I was taking old T-shirts and I was giving them to these local women's groups that were making masks. And they were, you know, I got a whole bunch of them.
Nice.
Some of them are terrible. But I mean, look at this one. This is a mask. It's, you know, it's kind of terrible.
That covers your whole freaking face.
Covers your whole face. And I've got, you know, I have a lot of them, some good, some bad.
All right. Well, nice giveaways. Why don't you bring them to the conference?
There you go.
For people that are not vaccinated, wear a mask. And Mr. Miller, I see that you are, I don't know what that is. What is that room?
This is the office in the new house.
Oh, the house that's so big you don't have enough furniture to fill it?
We have plenty of furniture. We just have nothing on the walls yet. We're still working on getting stuff put up. So.
Okay. All right. And I'm here in my office. I'm still in the bright white office. I have not yet transferred over to the new space. It is quite empty and quite echoey. And there is no soundproofing. Even when it rains, it is loud. So I have to take care of a couple of those things before I can get over in the new space, but it shall be nice when it is finished. So I think we have a big announcement, and I don't have the song because I don't know if we're allowed to play it, but happy birthday, Mr. Bull.
Oh, thank you very much. Wow, that's a big announcement. That is frightening. How old do you think I am? My God.
I know how old you are, but I'm not going to say it on air.
That's funny. Thank you very much.
So you posted that one of your favorite things was to go to a spot and you had dinner with the fam.
I did. Yeah, there's a local spot. I mean, we're very lucky. The name of the company is Two River Computer because we're nestled on a peninsula in between two rivers that feed into the ocean. So we've got a lot of restaurants along the ocean and, of course, great spots to go to along both of those rivers. And there's one right down the street that's just phenomenal. And they have the best fried zucchini that I've ever eaten. I eat it everywhere I go if it's on the menu. I pay for it the next day, but I still eat it and will continue to eat it. And that's my big birthday celebration, going there, having my fried zucchini, a beer, and a burger. Mm. Good day.
All right. And Mr. Miller tried to sneak into Florida without letting me know last week.
Yeah, I know. Well, we were nowhere near you. I mean, well, I guess kind of. But, yeah, it was very hot.
Yeah, yes,
very
it
hot.
Is.
It was 95 with a real feel of 106, and I felt every bit of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Walking around Disney World for 5 days straight, I sweated more than I have in my life.
So what happens when you're in the middle of the state.
Yeah, exactly.
So no ocean breeze gets that far.
No.
But now, did you do all the parts or just one or two? How did you guys do the 5 days?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did all the parks. Two parks we did 2 days of, you know, to make sure we got all the rides. So all the new Star Wars rides are amazing. And, of course, you know, build your lightsaber, build droids, all that good stuff. And we took some extended family with us. So a niece and nephew, plus, you know, our kids and my wife, of course. So got to take her. Actually, she planned it. So, but either way, it was a great time. Yeah, had a good time. It was more of a go vacation than it was a rest. So I'm looking forward to the next one, which is going to be a rest.
Nice.
Okay. Well, that's not the Chicago trip, right?
Oh, no. No, that's fun, too. We can hang out, cut up, have a good time.
Yep, we're going to do that. Speaking of Chicago, are you guys staying Sunday night through Monday, or when are you guys leaving?
Monday morning.
Yeah. Leaving Monday morning, Tom?
Yeah, Monday, you know, lunchtime.
Okay. So I'll probably, I haven't booked my ticket yet. That's why I asked. Because normally, you know, we don't have much to do Sunday night. I think the last ones that we went to, both on conventions, and I think I hosted a dinner every one of those. So
well,
I was,
we were together the last night of the Grand Rapids, right? Yep. We were in that brewery.
Yep. So we'll figure that out. So I'll extend my plane ticket to Monday morning. We'll figure out something to do on Sunday night. Hang out.
Flights are expensive, Marvin. Be ready.
Yeah.
It was more than I expected. I'm bringing one of our technicians that we're kind of initiating into the field. She's been with us a year and a half. And she's been on the phone and she's on the bench. And so she's slowly going out into the field. So I wanted to bring her with us.
You sure you want to do that?
All of a sudden, it's like, wow, I could make this half price by just, you know, cutting someone out. But no, it's a good perk, right? Go to Chicago, have some fun.
Yeah,
It'll
be good. And she'll get to meet people in our industry and our crew. You know, we all share information and all that good stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. The other technicians, I try to tell them about the Facebook groups and what a valuable resource that is. You know, to be in a no snark zone on MSP Unplugged and be able to ask what might be a stupid question and not get beat up for it and get an answer and gain access to all the wonderful people that are willing to help. There's a lot of resources there. And I think once she comes and meets people in person and establishes those relationships like I did, it'll be easier to participate in that stuff.
So speaking of relationships like you, so you didn't know about the little Podnuts community and all that stuff until the Washington, D.C. unconvention. Yep. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I
didn't know who the podcasters were. It sounded like a motorcycle gang, you know.
It's more like a moped gang, is what.
Yeah, right. So they're, you know, rattling off who they all are, and I was like, yeah, I don't know who any of these people are. And I was following Matthew Rodella and his friendly neighborhood computer guy newsletter and stuff, and that's how I came to come to Washington.
Yep, and look at you now. You're one of the elderly statesmen of the group.
It's because of the birthday and the gray hair, right? That's how I earned that.
Oh, my. All right, so let's get on with this, folks, and we'll get to our topic. But, of course, first we have to go in the news. So, of course, for the last few weeks, most people have been talking about the new Windows 11 that will be coming out. And of course, the big controversy is that you won't be able to install Windows 11 on unsupported PCs. This move has surprised users because, of course, with Windows 10, you could almost install it on anything. And now Microsoft is making it so that even newer machines that are running Windows 10 may not run Windows 11. So, of course, Microsoft decided to have an Ask Me Anything session where they were going to clarify all of these things. And Microsoft's Aria Carley didn't do such a great job. There has been a backlash of people saying that the video was basically Microsoft being tone deaf. Carley says that the great thing to remember is the reason we are doing that is to keep devices more productive, have a better experience, and better security than ever before so that they can stay protected in this new workforce. It has even gotten so bad that even modifying group policy to temporarily allow the update is not possible. So people are speculating that Microsoft is doing this for a couple of reasons. One, that they need to recoup all the money they lost in giving away Windows 10 for free, and that Windows 11 will require fresh license purchases. So, of course, this has gotten people to think that Windows 11 will be another Windows 8. We shall see how that is. And in Florida Man news, you may not know the name Reza Baluchi, but you should. He has tried to do something that has just been absolutely ridiculous – And I am going to quickly run over and grab a video, because when you see what this man has done, it is going to shock you. So just in the last 3 days, he tried to go from St. Augustine, Florida, to the coast of New York by running inside of this bubble in the ocean. And after 30 miles, he had to be rescued by the Coast Guard. His objective was to raise money for public services, including the Coast Guard, police, fire services, and homeless people. And basically, he had to spend everything he earned on the rescue attempt that they did for him. Now, the reason I say you should know him is that he also did the same thing in 2014 when he tried to go from Florida to Bermuda and Puerto Rico. And again in 2016 when he tried to go from Fort Lauderdale to Bermuda. And in those two previous cases as well, he had to be rescued. He was found by the Coast Guard. He was described as fatigued and had activated distress, all of that good stuff. And the gentleman is from Boca Raton, Florida, so right up the road from me. And that is your Florida man story today. As you watch the video, if you're watching, that is him on the ocean trying to run in a bubble. It is, what can I say about Florida man, folks?
You have an endless supply of material.
Of course I do. We're the fourth largest state. Everybody runs from other states to come here for whatever reason. No
taxes.
No income tax, yeah.
The income tax.
We have ocean on just about every coast of our state. Tropical paradise, the closest thing you can get to the Caribbean without leaving the lower 48. And for most people, Jason, they like it hot. They can lay on the beach and get a tan like me.
No, forget that. That's too hot. Yeah. I like my air conditioning, so.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. So let's move on to our topic today. And the reason I mentioned earlier that this was very timely, of course, I'm expanding my office. I'm getting to the point where I am really too busy to try to keep doing this by myself. Even with the wife helping full time in the business, it gets to be a lot. So going back to having staff, and I think that it's just something that we all need to deal with, especially people that are maybe just starting out and want to get to that, you know, million-dollar MSP level as quick as they can, or they're tired of working by themselves and they need to grow. So I figured, why not get two of the most successful people I know in the industry and get some tips and talk about what we can do to grow and run our business properly. So
who's he going to ask, Jason?
I don't know. I was wondering the same thing.
So, so why don't we just start with, you know, you guys, how would you describe your journeys to get to where you are? And we'll start with that, and then we'll ask questions and go over bullet points. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I actually really like my story. I like to tell it because I think it can help other business owners, not just computer people. But I started the business with a vision of what I was going to be and what it was going to do. And I had the business plan and I had all that stuff. And I had a pretty clear roadmap for where I was going, what I was doing. And I had anticipated revenue streams and all kinds of stuff. So this is back in 2006. And I soon found out that, you know, I was not Steve Jobs, and I could not tell people what they wanted. I had to give them what they needed. So I started to react to the street and react to not only what I could provide, but what they wanted and how I could learn it. And anybody that's in this business knows that, you know, there's really no time where you can become complacent. There's always something new coming out, and you know, you can if you work in a vacuum in a corporate environment that never upgrades anything ever, and it's the same thing over and over again, okay, then maybe you could get just really good at that and nothing else. But in around here, what I was doing is just reacting to everything. People wanted parental controls for their kids. They wanted they wanted upgrades. They wanted Wi-Fi. They wanted televisions. They wanted all kinds of technology things. And my roadmap went out the window because I chose to listen to the money. And instead of being stubborn and staying on track, I just followed it. And it took me to where I am now. And I'm really happy where I am. And a lot of people who do what we do don't agree with the choices that I've made, but I love it. I'm really happy. But so in the end, it was me listening to people and not being too stubborn.
So when you say that some people may not have agreed with the choices you made, I mean, are there specific things that come up that somebody says, why would you do that in this, you know, how can you run a business like that or something?
Well, it's more about choices. And like Jason recently chose to stop doing residential for the right reasons, for his reasons. And I chose to keep doing it because it's more of a community service for me. I don't have a lot of competition. I live in an upscale area where the emphasis is on service and it's on site and it's on, you know, kind of an upper level. And they're willing to pay it, and I'm willing to do it. So, but a lot of people that do what we do think that me doing residential at all is a mistake, or doing break fix and not doing MSP, I must be off my rocker. And I embrace it. I really, really enjoy what I do. I enjoy the interaction with people. You know, the 300 people that we see every month, not just the 10 customers I have that I'm billing, you know, 10 invoices every month. That's just not for me.
All right. Jason, what's your story?
My story. Well,
true story.
True story. Yeah. So I used to be an engineering mechanical designer, designed front end loaders, backhoes, automated machinery, assembly lines, stuff like that. So come from a totally different background than IT is basically what I'm trying to say there, but, kind of got started in IT because one of my buddies was like, hey, come see me at my company here. I started my job at this new company, and you know, you help me with computers all the time. Just see what you can do. So I showed up and said, hey, I work a full-time job after hours. Of course, in those jobs, you get off at 2:30, 3 o'clock because you started early because it got hot in manufacturing plants and stuff like that. So they let all the workers off early. So everybody worked early to, you know, mid-afternoon. So it worked out well. Kind of got started with that one customer. Started doing some residential out of the house. And that one customer was a business, of course. And then, got my feet wet because they're like, hey, we have like two computers and now we need like 15 and we need a server and a document management server. I had no clue, never touched a server in my life. I said, sure, no problem. So I ended up custom building a server, put in a domain controller, lots of Googling, no cool Facebook groups back then, you know, all these cool people to help out. So it was really a school of hard knocks. Messed up a few things, you know, mainly DHCP and DNS. So didn't know what I was doing at the time. You know, a couple of issues here and there, figured it out. Spent many hours. Put in a document management server a little while later and kind of got that kicking. But did a lot of stuff out of my house and then finally decided that one of my buddies, he was I went to teach after my engineering job. So I was going to teach drafting classes, found out I'm not a teacher. I would kill a kid. I filled that out real quick. So long story short, I filled in for a guy who was going to have a program at another school. So forget it. Got laid off in December. Of course, school doesn't start till the next year, till August. So I was like, I got to do something. Kind of working on my now wife, but she's my girlfriend at the time's house. Her dad let me hang out there all the time. They had upstairs. So I made a computer shop upstairs that no one was in. And, kind of started doing stuff out of the house, kept getting told no by people because I was working out of the house and, I don't want to bring my computer to your house. So one of my buddies had a, hot tub store and tanning bed store. He's like, I got a 20 by 20 room in the back. You want to have that? I said, sure. So, helped deliver hot tubs, put people in tanning beds and they helped check in computers when I was on service calls. It worked out. So it's pretty cool. Then some things with taxes he wasn't paying, I had to get out. So before they come padlock the door, so me and a web designer and a printer guy went into a 550 square foot house on the main road. And a year later, it was just me. They ended up moving out and kind of took over the space, ended up hiring my first employee, but kind of just mainly residential. Didn't really get into MSP until a few years later. I had a referral to a library, needed a graphics card put in from another IT company. And so I showed up and helped them out and just started helping them out over and over and over again. And then they're like, you have a contract? Monthly payments? It's like, yeah, sure. No problem. Went home, pieced something together. Not the way you should do it. Pieced something together from about 40 documents, ended up getting my first contract and on a monthly retainer, and figured that's the way I need to do this. So kind of started MSP and still had the shop. And you know, fast forward many, many years later, I've ended up getting rid of residential. Now we're MSP and business only break fix. So it's kind of how we got there. Been doing this since 2000, so a few years.
All right. Yeah. So both of you have obviously grown your business. So let me ask the first question of what was it that made you get to the point where it was time to hire that first employee? And what was your decision process as to which type of employee to hire, whether admin or tech?
Well, I went with, when it came to first, when we had that little house that we were had our business in, it was more of a storefront, it's a converted house, but we, it was just me. So whenever I went out and did service calls, so I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to do service calls between 8 and 11, and I'm going to open 11 to like 6. For the store, because most people didn't come in the morning times for residential. You know, they don't want to get out of bed or they're at work and they come in around lunchtime, so, or after work. So I stayed open 11 to 6 for that. So I kind of ran service calls in the morning, had a note on the door, call me if you're here and need to drop off a computer. Looking kind of crazy. So wasn't, you know, at the point where I could afford a lot at the time, you know, barely making it. So I was like, well, talking to my wife, we're like, well, we need help. And so ended up hiring a guy I knew from where I was next to the hot tub store. I talked to this guy all the time. He's married to one of the, my friend's family members. So just talking to him, he knew a little bit about computers, ended up hiring him part-time from the music store. So so he started working for us and because the music store closed down, and going from part-time to full-time in a matter of probably 3 months because we really needed it. And that really kind of slingshot our business, because having that extra help, was able to run more service calls, make more money. He was making money while I was out. And of course we tag team computers when I come back. So really it was just a leap of faith, to be honest. I mean, it was, I really need the help. I'm losing business because I can't be in two places, and just kind of
went for it. So he helped you technical wise, and yes. It sounded like you had to train him, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He was new a little bit, not much, but, yeah, we helped him out a lot. So.
All right. And Tom, what about you and your expansion?
Yeah, interesting. So without the big backstory, I was 10 years with a manufacturer and then 15 years business to business. You know, there was no MSP model back then, but we were just taking care of business networks for people. So I had not been a technician in quite a while. I mean, I had my NetWare CNE from, you know, 1997 or something, and I had an NT certification, but I didn't really have any certs, and I wasn't really that good. I mean, I'm technically astute, but I'm not really a technician. But as I started my company wanting to be more of a consultant, it ended up being more of computer repair. So people would ask me, hey, can you fix this computer? I'm like, yeah, I'm busy trying to, you know, do the consulting thing, which I was doing some business process engineering stuff mostly, but so I would stop by and grab a computer and bring it home and fix it and bring it back the next day. And then, so that started, you know, on the dining room table. And then I got a table in the basement, and then I got a second table in the basement and a third table in the basement. I'm like, all right, I got to do something, because I was home. I was in the basement working and not spending time with my family and not, you know, not engaging the right way. And I saw that the business was going a different direction. And like I said, I was kind of following the money. So I said, you know what, I'm going to get a space, and I'm going to take these 3 6-foot tables to the space, and I'm just going to go there. I'll leave at 7 in the morning and come home at 7 at night. But when I'm done for the day, I'm done. So my wife loved that idea, gave her basement back, and started doing that. And I was doing my invoicing on Sunday, and it used to take me, half hour, an hour. When it started to take 2 or 3 hours, that was the first hire I made. I hired somebody to do the bookkeeping for me, so to do that kind of admin part. So that freed me up at least on Sundays and at other times, because she would go to my office and she would work there and people would drop off. And I said, oh, you can go any day from here to here to do a drop off. So that whole thing started. Well, I needed to get parts and I didn't have any established relationships anywhere. So I'm going into Geek Squad or Best Buy or Staples and I'm grabbing a video card or a network card or whatever I needed. So I came very friendly with the manager at Staples, and because I was seeing him almost daily, it felt like. And I asked him about the technicians and who was any good. And he told me about this guy, Kevin. And I said, do you mind if I poach him? And he said, well, yeah, he's our best one. And I go, OK, well, thanks. So I approached Kevin and I said, listen, I don't want to take you out of Staples, but what days are you not, are you working full time? And they're like, no, we don't, they don't let anybody work full time because then they'd have to give them benefits. So it was like 30 hours a week. And I go, well, I have an idea. I said, how about you come and you work for me Tuesday and Thursday from, I don't know, whatever it was, 3 to 6. And I'm going to save up some computers and I'm going to give them to you. And I'm going to give you $25 a computer for every computer you fix. So he'd come in on a Tuesday and he'd work for 3 hours and fix 5 computers. So, he'd make himself $125 in a couple hours. So this went on for weeks. And I was kind of trying him out and his work was great. I tried to stump him a couple of times by, moving a wire and putting in a fixed IP address and telling him to figure out why I won't get on the internet, doing all kinds of stuff, messing with the DNS. And, I did all of this stuff and finally realized that he was actually quite good. And then I offered him a job. So I had my admin person in place and then I had him in place. And so he stayed at the shop all day. He never went out and all the repairs came in. People would call, he'd answer the phone, arrange the, the tickets, which were all by hand. I think I had one laying around here somewhere. It was like a 3-part, tear off thing.
Yep, I remember those.
With my little metal clipboard, and he would take care of all of that. And he became, our senior technician. And at a point where I was super comfortable with how he was on the phone and he knew the clients and he really knew the product. It was probably 3 years before I let him go on site. And I let him go with me. We went together for a while. And then I let him go on his own. So it was slow. And then after that, it was easy to start adding more technicians. But after getting that first one and the way that it was done, the way that that worked for me with the piecemeal for, geez, it had to be 3 months. And then, brought him on full time. So that became kind of easy.
All right. So it sounds like from both of you that, you added people because you were busy. So let me ask, how did you get busy? How was it that you actually got customers? Was it a concerted effort? Was it referral, networking? What did you guys do?
You want to go first, Jay?
Sure. Well, back in the residential days, there was this little book called The Little Coupon Book. And you could put $200 a month or something. They put you in a little book. They put them out. Like 15,000 of them at all kinds of different restaurants, doctor's offices, stuff like that. And back then, coupons were a big deal. So people trying to save a buck. And I stayed in that book probably 5 or 6 years. And we had a flat fee in our shop at the time to fix computers. So we just advertised that. We didn't really give a discount, even though it's a coupon book. And then, we give like $10 off antivirus or something. But, we're still making money on it. So, you're trying to sell the flat fee labor, the antivirus and whatever parts, trying to make some money. So that book brought in a ton of customers. And then, over time, word of mouth referrals, because, we made sure everything was done right. There were several other companies in the area that they get a lot of bring backs or one guy would like load, if you want to wipe and reload, he downloaded the Dell disk and loaded it and it's 6 years old, and has the old, you know, 5-year-old antivirus still on it and stuff. And he loaded the disk and let it go. And it's like, what? You know, no, you got to, you know, load it from scratch, do all the updates, all the recent drivers, you know, you had to do it right. So we did it the correct way and resolved any issues, you know, and kept people happy because, you know, I wouldn't let somebody be angry at us. You know, if you had an issue, we'd just take care of it. You know, I mean, sometimes you got to bend over backwards, make sure that the customer's happy. So that's kind of how we got a lot of referrals in the beginning and keep on booking word of mouth. So
coupons.
Once I realized that I was going to be fixing computers in people's houses and just kind of gave in to that, you know, I had to put money on the food on the table and stuff, and it was working. So I decided that I was going to embrace it 100%. So what I did, I'd already been kind of a pretty active person in community, very active at church. I teach Sunday school. I'm there every week. I'm a minister of hospitality. So people know me. They're shaking my hand, saying hello to me all the time. And I've been a coach of everything in my small town for a long time. So a lot of parents and kids knew me. So I played like a realtor, and I made these brochures with my picture on them. So people would go, I know that guy. I know him from church. It's my kid's coach or whatever. And I made deals with several local businesses. And I got those little brochure stands, you know, and it was like a thing like this. I had my picture at the top and all the things that I did. And I took one of these things with like 100 brochures, and I brought it to the pizzeria. I brought it to the local deli. I brought it to the convenience store. I brought it to the dry cleaner. I brought it to the bookstore. I brought it to the coffee shop. And I said to the owner, said that, put this out front and center, not behind the beef jerky or whatever, and out front and center, and I'll take care of your computers for free. In fact, let's make an appointment right now. When can I come and do that? So I did that with all the business owners. And the funniest thing is we have a local convenience store called Krauser's. And I would go into Krauser's. It was back when I was smoking, unfortunately. So I was in Krauser's almost every day. And I'd go in there and they go, you have some messages. People called because they remembered seeing your brochure, but they didn't know where to find you. So they called and left a message. And because we said you're here every day. So I used to pick up messages there. And one time I looked at it. And at one point from the beginning of time, I got over 260 referrals just from Krauser's. So 260 jobs just from Krauser's. So every Christmas, I'd go in with crisp $100 bills and give one to each of the people that worked in the Krauser's. And they were foreigners, you know, they're coming in from whatever part of the world they were from. And I, you know, this was a big deal. $100 was like a big deal. And to me, I was like, at that point I was rolling in it, you know, there wasn't much overhead and there was a lot of money coming in. So it was a good way to spend my marketing dollar. So between that and advertising in the church bulletin, and I took a big ad, you know, with my face on it. And, you know, and at the bottom, you know, I do this and antivirus and blah, blah, blah. And I wrote, see you in church, you know, because they would all see me at church. And that got a lot of traction. And from there, it was pretty easy.
So let me ask this, because I started my business because the computer store that I worked at did not believe in doing anything on site and didn't do business. So it was basically, you brought your computer to us. And I said, people are asking for us to go to them. Why don't we do that? And he said, don't need to. And the whole reason I started my business was because of that. So I thought that I would do a combination of a computer store plus an out service type system. But of course, nowadays, you know, the MSP way is not to do a store. So both of you still have stores. Why are you shaking your head, Jason?
He doesn't.
No, I don't have a store. I mean, we...
It looks like a store.
Well, so we leased the space. We had residential the first year we were up there.
Okay.
And then we've not had residential for the past 2-ish years now.
Oh, okay.
So when we got rid of it, we're leasing the space. We're looking at buying a building. So the choice is, do I spend money on a lease space that I'm going to have to leave behind, or do I want to, spend that, put that money back and, you know, put it towards the down payment on the building. So when you walk in our front door, we have, you know, probably a 25 by 15 room that's kind of got some shelving and some computers and stuff that kind of looks like the store. But the rest of the space, we got about 4,550 square feet, is all offices, big meeting room, big conference room. So, I mean, the majority of our space is not a store. Okay. And if it was up to me, if I needed that space, I'd probably redo it in the front. But it's, you know, probably the smallest part of the space. But I just don't want to spend the money on it because we're going to move in another 2 years.
All right. And you said you have what, 4,500 square feet?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I was on a road trip.
But I was going to say we have 15 people, so we have to have, you know, a lot of space. You know, so it's a we're outgrowing that sometimes. So
I was on a road trip last month with my son, and it was a pub crawl, an interstate pub crawl, and we stopped in Johnson City, Tennessee, to specifically see Jason and Rachel and go to their place. And I was really impressed because, you know, they've got this great like control room where all the guys are on headset and you can see the dashboard up there, what's going on and stuff's blinking and, you know, and it's like being at NASA, you know, it's pretty impressive. And they've laid it out really nicely. They have this beautiful conference area, but Rachel's office. Wow. It's teal. So that it's teal and white and it's very classy and it's, you know, and she's got the double monitor set up that he goes and buys some spray paint and paints it teal to match, you know, it's not
black.
Are you
kidding me?
No, dude. But it was really cool. It was really cool. She's a diva, man. And she's my hero.
You know, she couldn't have a black monitor stand when all the furniture is white and you got teal accent colors. So yep. I had to make it teal to match, you know?
It looked great. So the whole place, very impressive operation. Nice building, you know, nice everything. But you could totally see where people would come in off the street and say, you know, hey, can you fix my computer? Either because they knew of you previously or, you know, some other reason. And they got the sign on the door that, you know, all resident or walk-in stuff, you know, call this guy. So,
yeah, we sold our residential business to another local tech. And really, in our area, residential, we had a hard decision to make because – it was us, this other guy we sold our business to, then, you know, your normal Best Buy Geek Squad. There was no other official, you know, computer stores. So, you know, I kind of felt bad to not do that. I mean, we're fixing a lot of computers a month and through our store, but it's just holding us back. So nothing against anybody that does residential, but, you know, for our move, I don't like to ever put anybody down because I do residential because I did that many years. There's nothing wrong with it.
Nope.
And in some places, it's perfectly great, but we were at a point in our business that we had to make that hard decision to say, hey, even though we're making decent money over here, we're going to cut out, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, multiple tens of thousands of dollars to throw away and move towards business. But I mean, we've made that money, you know, probably 4 or 5 times that just getting rid of that. Our processes could move forward. The residential side was holding back the ticketing system, the RMLM, stuff we couldn't do, you know, so it's just a headache. So,
well, you gotta do what's right for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's,
yeah, I think a lot of it too has to do with the geography of it. If I go 10 miles any direction, I mean, I can't go into the ocean, but if I go south, west or north, my model doesn't work. It doesn't work because it's not an upscale enough community necessarily. Because the people that live here commute to New York City. Mm-hmm. So they're all like Wall Street people, like really, you know, like seven-figure incomes, seven-figure homes all over. And it's just a different, you know, it's a different thing. It doesn't always work. And virtually, like Jason said, I don't have that other guy. I have the Geek Squad and that's 20 minutes away or so. I have Staples, which no one really wants to go to anyway. But the Apple store is 45 minutes away, and three of our techs are Apple certified. And the mix, we get 40 to 45% max on the bench. So it's good work. It's complicated. And it's profitable for us. It doesn't always work for everybody, but we don't have a store either. We're on the second floor of a two-story building. And there's a hair salon downstairs, and there's a hardware store kind of place downstairs. And I put a dumbwaiter in to send the computers up and down from the first floor to the second floor when I moved into the building. And I sized it for a 27-inch iMac. So you can fit a 27-inch iMac in that thing and send it up and down, which was great during COVID. People would come in, ring the bell. We'd send the car down. They'd put the thing in, send it back up. And we had already got their money, their deposit money. So it worked out really well. But we don't have a quote-unquote store. People can't even buy a cable in here. We don't sell any of that. So it's not what you may think. Okay. And similar to Jason, it's like he's got a walk-in place, but it's not a store.
Okay. Oh, that I guess that's kind of like me. I've got a walk-in office, but it's not a store, even though I have inventory here. I did it because I didn't want people coming to the house.
Sure.
And all of my clients, well, I'd say 99% of my business is business. And they want a business image. So for them to, you know, I've got maybe one or two people that show up every now and then if they're going to drop something off or things like that. So, but I've got 2,000 square feet that I got to fill up now. So that's what we're working on. There's a question that came in from the chat. So let me go ahead and get that here. And where's my glasses? Do any of you use subcontractors? If so, do you force them to sign a non-compete? And I'll go ahead and answer first. I use subcontractors. I actually have four across the state because I've got clients that have offices both here in Fort Lauderdale, but down in Miami, West Palm, Tampa, Orlando. I had clients up in Jacksonville, Tallahassee. So I had subcontractors that I use for everything. And then I've got a couple local here that when I need to scale up my business and have people help me, you know, do a customer move or something, guys that I've known for years work with me. They are subcontractors. No, they do not sign a non-compete. That is something that probably wouldn't work down here in Florida anyway, but we just have felt that we haven't had to. Now, the one thing that I am doing is anybody that goes into my medical offices where we have a HIPAA BAA, the business associate agreement in place, I have to have them sign an similar business associate agreement with me that they're going to abide by HIPAA laws when they go visit my clients. So that's what happens there. So that was a long answer, I know, but do you guys, I know you guys have tons of employees, but do you ever use subcontractors?
I do. Yeah. So not, I guess, computer fixing contractors, but the contractors we use are more cabling guys. So we have a cabling company here locally that they used to be an IT company with a cabling division. They sold off their IT side. Now they only have, and we were neck and neck competitors for years. And so it's kind of wild, you know, it's like you're competitors with this guy. And then now he sells off his IT side to another company. And then, you know, now we're really good friends. He has about 15 people that do nothing but cabling. So they do all of our, you know, Cat 6 cabling, all the patch panels, cabinets, hangar access points for us, and then fiber, all that good stuff. We don't have them sign the non-compete. They're not really, I guess, totally competing with us, but and it kind of works out. We send them a ton of cabling. They send us computer work back and refer us businesses. So it kind of works out really well. And sometimes we'll go in together where he no longer has the IT side of things. We recently bid a job for one of the local cities here doing a big project together. So he provides the cabling. We provide all the technology. So it's kind of a back and forth, you know, kind of referral type thing. But no, we haven't ever signed a non-compete or really any kind of agreements, but it just kind of works out. So
I use a low voltage. Well, actually, I use a high voltage electrician to do a lot of the work in the residential stuff because it's hard to run wire in an established home. So you really need somebody who knows what they're doing. But he's not really a sub for me. I'm not interested. I don't do enough to like hire him and then mark his stuff up. I I just assumed he'd go direct and have the relationship directly with the client, just in case anything that he does backfires. I don't get pulled into any lawsuits or anything, so I prefer to keep it that way. But the answer to the question is no, I don't use subcontractors, but yes, I use non-competes, and I use them with all my employees. They have to sign a non-compete, and that they won't go work for a client. They won't, if they leave, they won't take another employee with them. You know, kind of the basic stuff. But to your point, Marvin, it's hard to enforce a non-compete if you're going to stop somebody's livelihood. You know, you tell them they can't fix computers in a 5-mile radius. That could probably kind of hold up, but I'm not going to pay an attorney to, you know, to enforce that. And that's why it's hard, but it puts it in their mind when they sign it. And if and when separation happens, I give them a letter and I remind them, and you are reminded that you signed this and this paragraph says this and this says that. So just as, you know, keep it in their head, but that there is no competition around here unless they were going to leave and start one on their own and compete directly with me. Then I would sue their asses. Yeah.
Yeah. Now we do non-competes for employees. Yeah. And I actually had one employee leave, go to a direct competitor, and that direct competitor contacted us because we do like a 6-month non-compete. So the other competitor contacted us and, you know, pretty much asked us, hey, will you sign this document waiving your non-compete rights? And of course, you know, we left on good terms, all that good stuff. So I signed it, didn't care, but you know, it is there. It is in the back of their minds, and you could enforce it with a lawyer, but if it come down to it, so.
Yeah. Almost no one ever does. It's just too expensive. Nah. But I just like that, you know, just be thinking about it. So don't try and screw me.
Yeah. It's tough, but down here in Florida land, there's so many unscrupulous contractors and subcontractors, and of course if your client contacts them, you know, it's not enforceable,
right?
So that's what and I did have that happen. I had one of my techs went to go work for a client, and it was funny because they thought they were being all sneaky and stuff, and you know, we knew, but in 6 months they were, you know, both out of work because the client basically went belly up and the tech had to go get another job somewhere else. So actually it worked out great for me because I got rid of a bad employee and a bad client and didn't have to do anything.
There you go.
All right. This next question that actually came from the chat as well is similar to a question I was going to ask you. And the way that I was going to ask you was based on the Michael Gerber's E-Myth book. But the question comes in as, do you both manage the business, or do you have a manager or delegate some management? And the way I was going to ask the question is, how do you guys work on the business and not in the business?
Those of you who've ever listened to me talk, because some of the things I really like to talk about is the fact that I am a disciple of process, and process is very important to me in the way that we do things on the bench, the way that we onboard a client, the way that we invoice and collect. All of those things are written processes, and they always have been. And Gerber talks about that in the book, like, you know, you don't have to be a McDonald's franchise to function like one. So you need a book and a Bible to go by, something to hand the employee on the first day and that kind of stuff. So as part of that, I have relegated parts of my week two specific tasks. I have a marketing day, I have a finance day, I have a sales day, I have a proposal day. And I've blocked off these times that I don't do other things. I only do those things. And that's me working on the business, right? And that's probably a good 10 to 15 hours per week that I'm working on it. And I really have to be diligent about it. And the staff knows, don't ever schedule me for anything during those times, because even though if my plate gets full doing something else and I really have to get the proposal out, you know, I will, but I try to be really strict about it and stay within the confines of the schedule. And that really helps me to stick to it. And I do delegate. I have a person that's in charge of admin. I have a person that's in charge of the shop tax, and I have a person in charge of the field tax, and I, you know, push the stuff down and out.
Yeah. Yeah. For us, we have a couple different managers. So we have different kind of, I don't guess really sides, but we have a help desk. We have five people in the help desk. So we have a help desk manager that pretty much manages them, keeps them on task, make sure things are happening, checking tickets, make sure things are flowing properly. If they're applying, people are applying to tickets, staying on top of the text to make sure they're, you know, quickly getting back to people, or, you know, also more knowledgeable guy. So the other help desk go to him. We don't have like really levels in our help desk. We kind of got rid of that a long time ago. We tried it. It wasn't working right. So any of our help desk can solve any problem. It's kind of let them learn and grow is kind of our motto. And so the help desk manager, of course, is one of the more knowledgeable guys. So he helps them learn and grow by, you know, here, you do it. I'm going to tell you how to do it and stand over their shoulder, let them talk to the customer, all that stuff. So I have him to kind of delegate. He delegates all the help desk. I have another manager, which is our kind of our right-hand man that helps us run the business too. But he basically is over all of our field engineers that go out in the field, and he kind of is also over the help desk as well. And then, of course, you know, Rachel, my wife, is full-fledged accountant, and so she's kind of the manager, I guess you'd say, over we have another executive assistant slash bookkeeper that helps her with billing and all that good stuff. So she's, I guess we kind of technically have three managers. I do still step in and manage some stuff here and there and make sure projects are flowing. But a lot of my job is engineering different projects, engineering installs, dealing with customer sales, onboarding, stuff like that. So,
yeah, I still work in it. And the way that I work in it is a lot of it's by choice. Like what Jason's saying, I'm kind of a project manager at times, pulling together the resources, whether that's equipment, people, you know, vehicles, you know, making the, you know, the kind of the logistics of that, making sure everybody's on task and on time. I also go in the field and I do the, don't hate me. I'm not a big fan of doing anything computer related. I will go on site. Cause I suck at it. I will go on site and I will, hang TVs. I'll install sound systems. I'll do all the smart home stuff, all the cool little gadgets. And I just have, it's the most fun you can have with your clothes on. I really enjoy it. I get a lot out of it. There's a wow factor that's attached to it that now I'm sunsetting out of this business in the next, you know, couple of years here. And I'm having fun. And so I don't mind that I'm working in it. And I think it's okay to work in it as long as that's not prohibiting you from working on it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I agree 100%. Well, sounds like both of you have done that. So the question I have, something that I started to do a long time ago, and I've kind of let it fall to the wayside because I didn't have staff, is I put together my book, my SOP of checklists and stuff. Now, some of the stuff we still use because the wife, when she's doing her stuff, you know, all the, you know, entering of the bills and putting together the invoices. We've templated some stuff for her, all the sales tax stuff, all that stuff that, you know, I wanted to push off onto her is all listed together, and it's not in perfect book form. But have you guys put together those types of things that, you know, like you mentioned, Tom, when an employee starts, you hand them the manual. Here's how you do stuff, learn it and go. Or how do you guys do that?
Yeah, we have some of that, and of course, we use IT Glue, so we kind of keep all those standard operating procedures in IT Glue on how to do things. Of course, pretty good size knowledge base. We recently moved from, well, I guess probably the January, removed from Repair Shopper as our PSA tool to Autotask. And so part of the reason we removed is, you know, queues and some other help desk stuff and dividing the business up a little bit and automation. And part of that automation is it has project management in it. So trying to have a standard project form of, you know, an Office 365 migration or an onboarding of a client or any kind of other project that we're deploying. We're doing a big project, 75 APs and big network across four or five buildings. So all that stuff we put together in a project. We can assign those tasks to different people to complete the task. So, so we're working on that. It's a little bit of work in progress, not a task, because we just started in January. And it's, I know it's 7 months later, but it's a lot of work. So trying to get there 100%. So working on those processes so we can have basically a glorified checklist and people assigned to it. So
I like Jason, I have for the technical aspects of the business. I have, we call it our process Bible, and it's got everything in it for, and we have, we use the worksheets in Repair Shopper as the checklist for the technicians going through the things. And then they hand it over and another person, you know, does their part of it. But for the finance part, I was told years ago, and not just by one person, and I've heard it so many times, never give up the money, never let go of the money. Mm. I don't let go of the money. So I spend, as a result, I spend 2 hours every Wednesday morning doing money things, transferring money. I move money around, which I'd love to explain how I do that to help people getting started. But I move money around. I pay bills. I write checks. I make the deposit. In fact, my wife makes the deposit every week. I do that on Saturday, put that all together, hand that to her. She does that on Monday to justify her hefty salary. But so from a financial perspective, Marvin, which is kind of what you were talking about with your wife, I'm not sure that I'd be willing to give that stuff away to a non-family member.
Okay.
You just never know who's going to.
I get that. So your wife does work with you in the business.
She does not.
Oh, she does not. Oh. But no, she makes the deposits.
She draws a salary, and her big job is to make the deposit every week.
All right.
To give me marketing advice.
Kim, if you're watching, stop.
No, she has a full-time job. Did you hear that part?
I heard, but the fact that she – okay. So
it's about retirement. It's about
– I got you. I got you. Yeah. All right. So you don't have – now, you did say that you had somebody to help with the admin stuff and bookkeeping.
I have an admin. I do have a bookkeeper that I work with monthly to just – she logs into my QuickBooks Online and makes sure that everything's cool. And if I ever have a problem, I just ask her. But I do it myself. I'm very efficient at it. I don't think it – you know, 2 hours a week to me is not a big investment. I really get time to drill down and understand my financial statements, my balance sheet, my P&L. I really know what's going on. You can ask me any question. I'll tell you. I know the percentages. I know the amounts. And I want to keep it that way.
Okay. Aside from reports, because I'm big on the reports too, the P&L, the cash flow, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. How minute do you get? Are you talking you still do all the invoices? You enter the bills?
Oh, No. All of the invoices, all the technicians do them. I mean, I will say that I have to pre-approve invoices before they go out for the field work and okay. The project work, so the bigger stuff, because I want to make sure they're not missing anything. And plus, you know, sometimes you got to, you know, they forgot to add shipping or they forgot to travel charge or that kind of stuff. So unless it's a single hour where it was no muss, no fuss, I have to approve that invoicing, and that takes me, you know.
Okay. Well, that's similar because she'll start the invoices, but very few go out that I don't see. So yeah, there's only a couple they don't change. So she can do that and go. But the bigger ones where we've got to go back and make sure we got all the time, we've got to make sure we got all the parts. Did we, you know, charge the customer for shipping? Those I still review all of those.
Yeah, I mean, we're with Repair Shopper. We do the estimate. You know, for a bench repair as an example, we'll do the estimate. And the shop manager's got to approve the estimate. And if the estimate goes through, and so then that's it, then you invoice it. So there doesn't have to be a secondary approval unless something gets added. But generally, you know, we kind of stick to the script if we can.
Okay. So those are all pretty much job-based stuff. Do you have customers that you invoice monthly where there may be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, many? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that happens automatically in Repair Shopper.
Okay.
I see none of the invoices.
I was going to say, we know that, you know, we know the Gestapo that runs your office.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, for a long time, I didn't even know what I made, like what I got paid personally. So sometimes I still question it. So,
all right.
I mean, she writes the check for me and she deposits it in the account and I never see it. So, I mean, it works.
She writes it for you. She signs it for you. She deposits it for you. She spends it for you. Is that how it works?
Our agreement is I have a check card and a business credit card. As long as they swap, I'm good.
Wow. So. Are you sure she's not learning French on the side and then she's going to go take all your money and move to the south of France?
I hope not. But she's really good. I mean, we've been together. When was it? Disney this past week, 16 years anniversary, 23 years together. So 16 year anniversary wedding and 23. Well, we stayed for 7 years.
Congrats.
Thanks. But yeah, she does all that stuff, handles all the invoices. She pretty much keeps up with what's going on in the projects, harasses our technicians or managers, make sure everything's added. She'll ask me questions sometimes, you know, because I quote the projects and stuff like that and, you know, agree to certain things in billing. But her and our bookkeeper also kind of do a lot of the, in Autotask, it's approve and post. So everything we bill at the last day of the month or the first of the month, depending on what it is. So all of our customers are pretty much just pay on a monthly basis for anything. So, and everything's prepaid. So if you're not getting prepaid for your services, make sure you're getting prepaid.
Yeah, man.
Everything prepaid?
Yeah.
You get IT services, Office 365, phone services. Everything's pretty, like if we do a project, like you want a server, you're paying for that before I ever order it. 100%. Any parts, if you want three computers, I'm paid for it before I order it.
So
sonic walls.
Anything. So what do you do if like something goes over the time? So if you quote, you know, 10 hours on a project, but it takes 20 because of unforeseen stuff, is there, you know, a line in your quote that says, if we go over, we're billing you extra?
Well, we basically bill 100% of hardware. I quote the labor, and labor has a little asterisk there that says actual times billed. Most of the time, if I quote you 20 hours, even if it's 15, we're usually pretty close to the 20 hours. So, or, you know, if we go over an hour, we may let it go. But if it's, you know, we're over 10 hours because of crazy circumstances, we're definitely billing more. We let the customer know, of course, at that point, hey, we're going to be over because of this. So there's not a huge surprise. But yeah, 100% of all hardware is paid up front.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. We learned a long time ago, you don't want to be the bank. You don't order stuff without them paying for it first. Yep. Otherwise, you end up with, you know, $100,000 in hardware out there. And, you know, people take 3 months to pay you, even though they're supposed to pay you that month, and then you end up in a bind. So
yeah, the only challenge with that, and I do the same thing too. I used to do 50-50 and early on in the career, 30-30, 30-10. But so the 50-50, you can obviously, you're not getting your profit until, you know, and you're a lot of times you're not covering your costs, right? So if to roll something up and say, you know, so you're not exposing what your labor is, to roll it in with the hardware and say, I'm going to give you 10 computers and it's going to be done in 2 days and it's going to be 10 grand. Then it's hard to say how much of it's hardware and how much of it's labor. So if you have to break it down, they're like, wow, you're charging me a lot of money for labor. You know, so it, sometimes like when I do some of the home jobs, I'll bundle it all together and I will not itemize it because I don't want them to go to Amazon and try and find the thing cheaper. I don't ever want to have that discussion. So
exactly.
Yeah. So it depends on the project. Like generally, if it's under $5,000, I won't even take a deposit if I know.
That's a little different. But yeah, we will. The only time we don't bill for is like if we had an ongoing relationship with a managed client and they're like, I just need a new computer for this person.
Right.
We'll just bill it at the end of the month. But I mean, if it's multiple computers that are getting a bill right then, you know, pay for it online before then. We got a payment portal they can log into and pay. And like you're talking about projects, you know, if you do like a large project, we take 75% up front. So we don't mess around on, you know, that. And sometimes people's like, you don't take 50%? No, 75. Yeah. Sorry. So it's
okay. Well, I've done for the most part 50% of the hardware, and I've done 100% of the hardware depending on the client. So if I think I'm going to have to worry about you, you're paying for all the hardware up front, and then I bill labor separate. And Tom, I don't, I tried to do that thing where I would roll it all together, but I've got some weird, goofy people that, you know, they want to know what the cost of the computer is and they want to know what the cost of the service is because they actually will bill that in two different line items. my law firms, they will actually, they'll have an expense for, you know, computer hardware.
Or G&A or something. Yeah.
So it's interesting. All right. There is another question here, but I want to follow up with this. So in terms of, so we talked about processes, we talked about money, but what about, you know, you guys, I don't know how fast you grew or, you know, to what, you know, growth you're going to continue to go to, but in terms of building an environment where you don't have to worry about staff coming and going and leaving and, you know, bickering and all that stuff, what do you guys do to create an environment that, you know, like in the quote I read before the show, you know, that people want to stay, although you're teaching them as if they're going to leave?
Yeah, we try to do a bunch of things. So I'll try and rattle off the things that we do. So a lot of it is about the value, placing the proper value on the talent that we have here. So to me, it's not just salary, it's also benefits. So we pay 100% of their health care, which, you know, a lot of people don't do that anymore. I think that's a very important thing. We give them a hefty number of days off. They earn one day off for every month that they work, plus they get 8 paid holidays. So they get 20 days off a year, which is not bad. I pay for lunches every Friday. And every other Friday, it's kind of a lunch and learn where we have a vendor, you know, kind of call in and do something, or one of the technicians will cross train and show somebody else something about Ubiquiti or Sonic or, you know, Synology or whatever for the bench tech so that they could become smarter. And then every other Wednesday, the non-lunch and learns, they go to a local deli, all the employees together. I want them out of the building together, and not me with them, just, you know, so they can talk about me. But they can go there on our nickel. And then the first Friday of every month, I bring breakfast in and we have a staff meeting and we talk about, you know, I tell them things about what's going on. I don't tell them too much, but I tell them enough. I don't like to keep them in the dark. And I remember being in the dark and I didn't like it at other places that I worked. So just so they had an idea of kind of where the ship was headed and how they could help. We also do, we call it one and done. It's kind of sporadic, but where we'll go across the street to the bar after work and I'll buy a round of drinks for everybody. And what's pretty cool is that sometimes I'll leave and, you know, I've done my one and I've paid it and I'm leaving and they're sticking around and they're going to have another one, which, you know, I don't want them to have five, but so that's always on a Friday. And, you know, then we do like a couple other things. We'll do bowling things. We do a little boat ride on the river and, you know, try to do, we did Topgolf, if you know what that is. You guys have that?
Yep.
I know you have it in Florida. So we do stuff like that to try and build a culture of, you know, friendship or friendly, you know, outside of here. Because this is a stressful job. Everybody that calls up is pissed. You know, they're pissed because something's broken or they're pissed because it's taken too long or they're just pissed. So, you know, we try and temper that with, you know, and we stock the kitchen. So there's always stuff for them to nosh on and there's always drinks and stuff in there. So there's a lot of things and that we have the 401k plan and dental and, you know, just all of these things that I think that are vitally important to convey the value that we want our employees to have.
Yeah. And we're kind of similar. I mean, we don't do 100%, but we do 70% of health, dental, vision. We do 3% company matching on retirement. We start people off with 2 weeks vacation, and then after 5 years, they get another week.
From day one, they get the 2 weeks?
Day one, it's accrual basis.
Okay,
so
okay.
Every payday, you get a little bit of time. It's based on, you know, how long, you know, basically a fraction of the 40 hours every payday. But, yeah, so it's accrual basis. We have a rule that they can't take a day off with vacation pay for 6 months, just so they need to be in there learning, training, all that stuff. I mean, we make exceptions, of course. We're not totally crazy. But we have a fun atmosphere. Like I said, our help desk, we took away the levels, just made it easier for everybody to learn and have a good time. You know, if they have YouTube up listening to music, they have Battle of the Bands and different stuff and different themes of music throughout the day. So, you know, something to keep it kind of kicking. You know, we have arcade machine. We have, you know, usually a birthday lunch every month. We'll cater in full birthday lunch. We have one of our employees. He invites everybody to a barbecue at his house. So we go to his barbecue every year as a company. And then, of course, we have a Christmas party at our house every year. So Rachel cooks a big spread of ton of stuff. And, you know, we all eat a Christmas dinner, you know, usually beginning of December. So, and then we'll have, you know, pizza here or there, some stuff like that. But I think one of the biggest values in the beginning, I lost a really good employee because we didn't have health insurance. So he went to a company that did have health insurance. So I think in the beginning, it's really hard as a one-man band to get health insurance. But there's all kinds of places out there that you can get health insurance at different levels and stuff. So at least offer something. You know, we offer something with, you know, co-pays because our employees don't like paying large, you know, deductibles. So they want co-pays. So we did co-pays. But and it's decently priced. I mean, you can get insurance. I mean, usually your guy that provides your liability can provide health insurance. So works out. So if I had to say anything, you know, start off with one benefit. We started with health insurance. And then, you know, a year or two later, we had dental vision. Then we added retirement plan. So it's just kind of stepped over time. As we grew, we added more stuff. And, of course, you know, they got paid holidays and stuff too. But we'd like to keep a fun atmosphere. My motto to everybody, and they know it, is we're all adults. You do what we expect of you. And we won't have no problems. But everybody's pretty chill, relaxed. You know, sometimes you have to step in. But, I mean, for the most part, I expect you to do your job. You're an adult. Do it. So,
all right. Do you do any bonuses, Jason?
Yeah. Usually at the Christmas party, we do bonuses.
What does that look like? A dollar amount? I mean, is it like a percentage of their pay or?
No. It's usually Rachel picks an amount. And in the last – and we've kind of been all over the place with, like, the amount and stuff. So – and it's like, is it fair for the new guy to get the same amount as a guy that's been here 7 years and stuff like that went back and forth. So now my wife kind of formulated me and the accountant like a formula to, you know, if you've been here, you get more for the multiple years that you've been here. So the new guy's not getting as much as, you know, the senior tech, you know, so
we give out a week's pay. So if you're here longer, you're making more money. So you're, bonus will be bigger. But in the beginning, before I started doing that, although I might have been doing that from the beginning, because I always thought that it happened to me and I always thought how cool that was, getting a Christmas bonus. I mean, nobody ever hears of that anymore, right? It's kind of a cool thing. Even if it's like $100, it's like a Christmas bonus. Okay. It's fun. But we did some a profit sharing thing too, where as long as we hit our target, I'll take 5% of the net profit and I will divvy it up amongst the staff. And usually like the high level people, they'll get a bigger amount than the lower level people. And it's always in cash, you know? And, so as a result, well, they've come to expect it, which is what I didn't want.
Yeah.
I want it to be a bonus. It's a bonus, but you know, you don't get it unless you work real hard. So they're like paying attention to profit and making sure that they add that travel charge and the shipping charge and all that other stuff. So we can, you know, make sure that all the stuff that we make the most profit on is on every invoice.
Yeah. We kind of do like a random bonus. So like I've had a new tech start and, you know, it's like, they just amaze you. It's like, oh my gosh, this guy knows way more than I thought he did. I've walked up and okay, you got $2,000 more a year because you're awesome. And then we've also done, you know, and it makes a big deal. They're like, oh wow.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like super surprised. And, then I've done stuff like, we were gone on vacation and, you know, my lead engineer had a heck of a time, you know, with all kinds of things falling apart, you know, as it does in IT and, you know, worked tons of extra hours and weekends and all this stuff. And so, you know, we threw quite a bit of money his way for holding down the fort while we're gone. Had a couple other instances where I've had people work on Saturdays outside the thing and we'll just surprise them with, hey, here's $200, you know.
Nice.
And it doesn't have to be a lot of money. I mean, you give somebody $100 and they're like, wow, cool.
I know. So, I mean, especially if it's in cash.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. All right, guys. So I want to do something different. We've already gone over. And in lieu of a post show, would you guys be willing to take a quick break and continue on and do a part two? I know that You know, it's a little longer than we planned, but we've got some good discussion here. We've got people watching with questions. Is that okay that we do that, or do you want to wrap it up? And
I'm happy to keep going a little bit longer. I came back to the office because I didn't want to be at home to do this. Better lighting here.
Okay.
No logo hanging on my wall in my house.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening by audio, there will be a part two. If you're watching, we're going to take a quick break. Don't run away. We will kind of throw up some musical interlude here and give us just a quick moment here to take a potty break, refill the water, all that sort of stuff. But we will be right back. You have been listening to Jason Miller with Unbound Digital and Tom Bull from Two River Computer on this continuing series of Summer Tech on Podnuts Pro. And if you're watching live, we will be right back.